The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Shadate Hargett Hill from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Oprah Magazine, July 2018, Volume 20, Number 67. This is the fourth installment of the July issue, and we'll be discovering Let's Eat, a little bit of Martha Beck, also the O-List and what she says she knows for sure. So we'll get started with that in just a minute. We're starting with Live Your Life, Live Your Best Life. In part three, Drawing Strength and Live Your Best Life, Amina Akram has made real progress towards setting healthy boundaries in her final session with O's Martha Beck. She learns how to listen to her heart. Single mom Amina Akram longs to find a partner, but in her previous session with O life coach Martha Beck, the 48-year-old confessed that romance isn't the only kind of love she's been missing. Amina's parents were mostly absent while she was growing up, leaving her to be raised by her grandmother, who wasn't a give-me-a-hug kind of person. Martha told her client that they were onto something important. Because Amina never got the affection she needed as a child, she learned to give without expecting anything in return. Now she's continuing that behavior as an adult, endlessly caring for her kids, sisters, and mother, and depleting herself in the process. To break the pattern, Martha advised, Amina has to finally give the kid inside the attention she deserves. When that little girl learns she's worthy of love, adult Amina will attract the relationship of her dreams. Let's check in as Amina and Martha start their last session. Martha Beck. Hi, Amina. You've been on my mind a lot since we talked. Tell me what's happening. Amina. Well, I've started seeing a therapist. Martha says, that's amazing. Amina. Also told my mom I don't think we should live together anymore. There was anger at first, but she finally said, okay, if that's what you want to do. Wow, separating from your mother is the ultimate boundary setting. Of course, my sisters want to know how I'll find a babysitter for my daughter. You're breaking the family rules and getting pushback. I am, but I don't care anymore. You seem mellow, but also tired. Yeah, this is my day off, so I slept in. You're experiencing what a friend of mine calls transformational tension. After you've spent a long time contemplating change, taking action is exhilarating, but when people try to pull you back into old patterns, it takes a lot of effort to resist. That may be tiring you out. It is exhausting when they say things that make me second-guess myself, like, can you afford it? This is what people-pleasers face when they set boundaries. Everybody who's benefited from your accommodating ways starts scrambling to reassemble the old rules. If they can't get you with guilt, they'll try fear, threatening conflict, or telling you your decision is going to have horrible consequences. Yes, first it was guilt. What's mom going to do? And then when they asked me about money, I felt the fear, but I have to live my life the way I want. I've also been reading Homecoming, the John Bradshaw book you told me about. You really do your homework. It's made me realize that things I went through as a kid weren't my fault. You're feeling compassion for that little girl inside, which is how you will ultimately begin to heal. We talked about giving her the chance to speak and be heard. Since this is our final session, it might be useful for the two of us to walk through that together. Sure, let's try it. When you think about feeling lonely as a child, does a particular scene come up? I can't pinpoint anything. I just always feel like I was lacking something, that I didn't dress like the other kids or have what they had. And you couldn't pour your heart out to your mother. It's probably hard to even imagine what a caring parent might have to say to you. Yeah, right. When you don't have it, you don't know what you're missing. Let's play a little game. Say you're 10 years old, feeling horrible, and you come home from school. I'll be a mother who's really tuned in to her child, okay? Okay, so honey, how was your day? Mom, I felt strange because I was at lunch with my friends, but I felt like I was somewhere I wasn't supposed to be. I didn't belong, and it didn't feel good. That's terrible. Come sit and tell me more. Tell me everything. I'm sorry. Tearfully, she says, I don't know what to say. Sweetheart, it's okay. You're doing so well. It's horrible to feel different. And of course you feel awful. Let it out. I'm right here. I'm sorry. I don't like talking about when I was younger. You don't need to apologize. When you're hurt, you really get to cry. Now you're safe enough to replay those painful moments and see how it feels to be nurtured. Say to that little girl, tell me everything you're feeling. Then, that must have been so painful. Tell me more. I'm not leaving you. Then, anyone who went through that would feel the same way. It was really hard. Give yourself the time to say, here, let's put a blanket around you. It's just someone to hold me, more than talking. I hear you. I was never nurtured that way either, so I had to imagine it for myself. When my kids were little, I used to sit in the chair where I rocked them and think, how would a loving mother talk to me? I'd cry and cry. And you know what happened? I wound up befriending a woman just like the mother I imagined. When you can be a loving presence for yourself, you will draw more love into your life. I also imagine that loving presence as God. I don't know what your beliefs are. Yes, I believe in God. I would imagine that force in the room with its arms around me. I started having very profound spiritual experiences. Whatever you vividly imagine from deep inside your heart, you begin to create as if by magic. Do you think this is why I'm obsessed with drawing hearts? That's your spirit writing you a message. I love you. I love you. I love you. But the hearts always have to be perfect. What other kind of heart would a God force draw? Think about that idea. A God force in your unconscious mind sending you messages. What does that feel like in your body? It's a little click inside my chest. That's your sense of truth in body, heart, mind, and spirit. It's like I've been in a life forever. I've always felt that I'm supposed to be living a different life. What would that life be like? I want to be on the beach, not bogged down by mental issues, nobody stressing me out. Keep going. I'd own a restaurant, a little hut, just to survive. This is a fantasy, so you don't have to worry about survival. What would it feel like if you didn't have to do anything at all? I'd feel like a loser. Even in your fantasy, you can't let yourself imagine having no job. If I flew you to the beach right now, you'd still be anxious because you'd be yelling at yourself to get busy instead of what that voice of fear. Try letting the voice of truth, the voice of God. Imagine you're sitting on the beach and you start thinking, I'm so lazy. What does God say? No, you're not. You're a beautiful human being. Think of that verse from the book of Matthew. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. But God takes care of them anyway. How then will he not take care of you? You've been listening to that fearful voice screaming that you have to do more, 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 because you're never enough. But another part of you is sending hearts and trying to tell you that part is pure love and is always with you. You've come such a long way. You're going to make a wonderful life for yourself. I hope so. Martha, this is the best thing that happened to me in a long time or ever. It's you finding you. You just having to step into your own miracle. Martha Beck is the author of, most recently, Diana Herself, An Allegory of Awakening. Next up in Live Your Best Life, Dear Lisa. to engage or not to engage. Dear Lisa, my fiance and I moved in together last year and plan to marry this December. To make our honeymoon truly memorable, I suggested we re-virginize by practicing abstinence for the 6 months before our wedding. Am I crazy? That's Suzanne from Maryland. Dear Madonna, couple things. You can be touched for the very first time only once. Also, I'm pretty sure re-virginization is not a thing. And those quibbles aside, you've got your entire married lives not to have sex together. Why jump the gun? Sorry, just kidding. Sort of. Let me explain the great circle of married sex. In the beginning, he'll find your mouth in the dark, and you'll go through the next day with more goofy joy than anyone functioning on 5 hours of sleep has a right to. A few months later, you fight about whether to get the chrome or the brushed nickel soap dish, but the argument melts away when he takes it upon himself to empty the dishwasher and agrees to go look at the golden doodle puppies, because golden doodles are great with babies. Not that you plan on having babies anytime soon. 11 months later, you have a baby. Ella is colicky. The dog is jealous. The doctor says sex can resume after 6 weeks. But you tell your husband, she said 3 months minimum. Time marches on. Sex is amazing, meaning you're literally amazed you actually made it happen before dropping Ella off at the daycare. Enter baby two. Nathaniel refuses to nurse. Ella refuses to nap. The dog is appalled. When the choice is Colbert or sex, Colbert wins. The kids get older. The dogs get incontinent. Sex is sporadic, uninspired. Then one day, Ella is studying quadratic trinomials at MIT. Nate is off getting something pierced. Your husband takes it upon himself to empty the dishwasher, and boom, it turns out you're still crazy about each other after all these years. So what we've learned today? Well, first of all, whoever picked the brushed nickel soap dish was wrong. Second, kids get stuff pierced. Ignore it. Third, I love a designer dog as much as the next advice columnist, but so many wonderful animals are hurting. Consider a rescue next time. Finally, believe me, the start of your life is as a married couple will be meaningful regardless of what happens or doesn't happen prior to it. Do not put off until tomorrow what you can do today. And for the 6 months leading up to your wedding, Dear Lisa, my mother-in-law is 96 and in very poor health. That will only get worse. My husband and his two sisters keep dragging her to different doctors who send her for more invasive tests. She says she's had enough, but nobody is listening. Should I stay out of it? That's Rosa for California. Dear Rosa, this isn't about you or her children. It's about everyone becoming selfless advocates for a person who's tired of all the poking, prodding, and scalping. Find an excellent geriatric doctor, someone who is specifically trained to treat elderly patients with numerous medical issues and understands how they influence physical and emotional health. Suggest an appointment at which everyone can have an honest conversation about how your mother-in-law wants to spend her remaining time and what the family can do to support her goals. Let the doctor do the heavy lifting here. It's not for you to take charge. And if someone points out that you're not a blood relative, explain how perhaps this makes you a little more objective, that you're still part of the family and that love is love. Meantime, whenever possible, let your mother-in-law know you respect her choices and that she has the right to live out her life any way she pleases. Dear Lisa, I'm fairly new to a company where every summer my boss invites all 19 employees to a weekend at his lake house. He insists it's not about work. He just wants to express his gratitude and show us a good time. I have 3 young kids and really don't want to leave them. But in the world of office politics, am I making a mistake? Sandra from Arkansas. Gainfully employed Sandra, you're asking a woman who has attended only one office Christmas party in her meteoric rise to the middle. So I say, if your boss seems sincere about simply wanting you to enjoy yourself, and you enjoy yourself by not watching Loretta from Human Resources play Frisbee in her tankini, then write a lovely note thanking him for his generous gesture and skip it. But if you have even the slightest sense that your absence could come back to bite you, then chalk this one summer weekend up to the cost of doing business, not to mention having health insurance for those 3 kids. Err on the side of caution and prepare to line up for your shower with the folks from accounting. Lisa Kogan is Ode's writer at large and the author of Someone Will Be With You Shortly, Notes from a Perfectly Imperfect Life. To ask Lisa a question, email asklisa@hearst.com. And now it's time to eat. In Let's Eat section, we have Fast or Fancy. Stay cool on summer mornings with this cool, icy bowl, Ike bowl, a.k.a. spoonable smoothie from Power Bowls author Crystal Sinspell. And in this is a colorful picture of a colorful coconut bowl. It has a coconut split in half. It's in the middle with coconut meat, banana slices, protein powder, and brightly colored edible nola and blossoms like violets, deep blue, purple, and yellow. And it has protein powder that gives your meals more staying power, and unflavored, unsweetened options like Keratin Farms coconut protein or Bob's red meal protein and fiber nutritional booster. Focus on the fruit. The Fancy. Turn your berry-based breakfast into a work of satisfying art by topping it off with homemade granola. Find a delightfully crunchy and nutty recipe at oprah.com/DIY granola. Adding edible flowers like violas, farmers market, or order online like at gourmetsweetbotanicals.com and serving it in a coconut shell. It'll be almost too pretty to eat. Goji berry and hemp Ike bowls. Makes 4 servings. Total time 15 minutes. To a blender, add 1 package unsweetened Ike puree. Check the frozen fruit aisle. 2 cups frozen mixed berries. 2 frozen bananas peeled and diced. 2 scoops, about 6 tablespoons, protein powder, and 2 cups unsweetened almond blend. Blend until thick and smooth, about 2 minutes. Meanwhile, split open 2 coconuts. Hold each coconut with a towel and firmly tap along the center with a hammer or a meat mallet until the shell cracks in half. Divide berry mixture evenly between 4 halves. Top each with 2 tablespoons of shredded coconut, 1/4 of banana sliced, and 1 tablespoon of goji berries, 1 tablespoon of hemp seeds, 2 tablespoons of granola, a sprinkle of cocoa nibs, and a couple of edible flowers. The Fast. Hectic weekdays are no time for wacky coconuts, so surely you can stir in your blend in a regular old bowl, top it with packaged granola. You can try purely Elizabeth not too sweet coconut cashew version, tastes close to homemade. You can get that at purelyelizabeth.com and call it a morning. Or Oh Prude, Vitamix Accent Series Blenders deliver lump-free results. And if you want an icy berry treat with next to zero effort, we like some Bazan's Frozen Superfood Ikea Bites. Think of them as tiny Ikea bowls or icy bowls, if I'm saying that right, dipped in dark chocolate. They're sweetened mostly with fruit, too, so they totally count as breakfast. From good eats to good reading, and we continue the reading of some books here. The West, Goodbye, Sweet Girl by Kelly Sundberg. In this can't take your eyes off the page memoir, hard-bitten Idaho is a savage landscape full of sawed-off mountains, nuclear waste, and wild animals just outside your door. But for Sundberg, the real danger shares her bed. How does a violent partner erode the tyranny of your heart? And are you ever too old to run away from home? Places in the Heart. Fat City by Leonard Garner is a slim, sleazy, poetic, and basically perfect novel that captures the day-glow reality of Stockton, California in the late 1950s. Men lined up for jobs as day laborers, the bars and boulevards, and boxers. Rachel Kushner, author of The Mars Room. The Mirage Factory by Gary Crist. Every city can be regarded as an artificial construct, an audacious projection of human will, imagination, and vanity over the natural landscape begins this captivating history of Los Angeles told through the lives of Walter Saar, William Mullahan, film director D.W. Griffith, and evangelist Amy Semple McPherson. Through them, we come to understand that the unlikeliness of metropolisizing could never have been built without the American capacity for self-mythologization. Pretend I'm Dead by Jean Begind. A young house cleaner volunteering at a needle exchange program falls for an addict trying to get clean. After Mr. Disguising breaks her heart, she absconds to Valdez, New Mexico, a place as dry as Begind's humor, living in a half of an adobe house that leaned to one side in what seemed like a shame of disappointment. She meets a cast of weirdos who Begind, channeling the late Dennis Johnson, imbues with wondrous compassion. Fight No More by Lydia Millett. In the City of Angels, Nina's real estate clients are not exactly angelic. A musician tries to drown himself in the backyard pool at one viewing. A boy insists on watching porn during a showing of his home. The bemused Nina is at the core of these linked stories, which showcase Millett's gallows humor. The tale's intersections are intricate as LA's freeways, but unlike the 405 at rush hour, totally delightful. I Will Be Complete by Glenn David Gold. Abandoned in the 1970s at age 12, the author of this searching memoir, who also wrote the novel Carter Beats the Devil, spends the second and third decades of his life wending his way through the labyrinth of motherless San Francisco and eccentric Los Angeles. His game plan? Evade the violent con men and slippery-tongued psychiatrists his bohemian mom dated, and choose whether to drive down that scenic road of forgiveness or seize the self-determinist spirit of California and set himself free. Acid West Essays by Joshua Wheeler. Welcome to the trippy valleys of southern New Mexico, where one can experience close encounters with the post-Snowden UFO convention, a family's harrowing trials as an atomic downwinders, and dessert scavenger hunt for cartridges of one of the worst video games ever made. Your guide, a loquacious wordsmith a la David Foster Wallace. Nevada Days by Bernardo Axiaga. A mammoth eagle scoops up a car. A plane vanishes in a sun-bleached desert. The sublime meets the surreal in this hypnotic blend of memoir and fiction by the great Basque reader as he explores Reno, Nevada, an outpost teeming with David Lynch, like menace and haunting dreams. Tell me the machine goodnight. Tell the machine goodnight by Katie Williams. In the vivid, clever debut, it's 2035 and Bay Area tech geeks have finally cracked the code for joy. Meet the apricity machine, named for the feeling of winter time sun. Protagonist Pearl is an expert at giving customers personalized training for boosting their happiness quotient. But when it comes to helping her own troubled son, she's completely out of her depth. Places in the Heart. For me, the seminal work of fictional for the American West is Almanac of the Dead by Leslie Marmon. Silco, it's our war and peace. It stands as sweeping indictment of the conquerors of these native lands. In it, Silco channels the earth's sacred range. Today, we watch how that narrative of violence continues. Terry Tempest Williams, author of The Hour of Land. There, There by Tommy Orange. Orange's electrifying fiction debut probes the urban Native American experience, Oakland style, in prose as rhythmic and seductive as a drumbeat. We stayed because the city sounds like war. The quiet of the reservation, the side of the highway towns, rural communities, that kind of silence just makes the sound of your brain on fire that much more pronounced. Some great buys for under $100, and it's about some ship and shape. Bright trim and playful call to action are fresh and fun with a bohemian style one piece. Also some beautiful dangly bracelets, one, two, or three of these chunky stackable bracelets. Let's go back. The swimsuits are $90 at BodenUSA.com, and these sparkly bracelets are $38 that will go with any outfit at Ink plus Alloy, InkAlloy.com. And why not white wide leg pants, insert polish from the Jennifer Lopez Kohl's.com collection for $44. And looking at style icon, Emily Blunt strikes a pose in Tory Burch at the Designer Spring 2018 run show. She's wearing a beautiful rainbow colored dress, and that speaks volumes to the different outfits that are listed here, with her heels that she has on that are wedges, and they're great for the summer wardrobe to stylish heights, with a great light wedge Tommy Hilfiger tight wedge for $79, and you can get it at belk.com. And how about a little gold whip stitching glam for a classic look, classic shoulder bag, Urban Expressions? That is for $40. The pop of white adds to a cool touch to an elegant piece, an elegant watch timepiece, that is Anne Klein. You can get it for $65 at Anne Klein or amazon.com. Let's not forget some generous sleeve pockets, a waist-defining belt. What more could you ask for in an everyday dress? Try that at Gabrielle Union Collection at New York & Company at nyandcompany.com for $99. Go marigold beautifully complements any navy and white at Ava and Viv or Target for at Target.com for $23. And let's not forget the scarf hemline. An intricate pattern makes an elegant statement piece at H&M for $35. H&M.com. Continuing to love that in styles under $100, let's not forget the black and white. The classic combo gets elevated with hits of gold and rich embellishments. And a style icon is no other than Tracee Ellis Ross, wearing black and white beautifully with some bell-bottomy pants, jumpsuit, a little tank top, and a sheer shirt over it. Actually, it's a sheer jacket with gold and black. So the icon here, we have a beautiful black beach hat, works on the sand and in the streets for $78, Echo or echodesign.com. Let's not forget this tasseled and bedazzled pouch adds a little flair to solid basics, Tara.com, and that is $50. Ruffles transform a traditional skirt into something feminine and fun. HMN.com has it for $35. Take a jumpsuit up a notch with a gold braided belt. Jumpsuit Simply Vera, Vera Wang, Kohl's.com. Belt Deepa by Deepa Gurnani at DeepaGurnani.com for $68. You can get the jumpsuit, and for $88, you can get the belt. A tunic is perfect with straight leg shirts or shorts or pants. Karl Lagerfeld, Paris, LordandTaylor.com for $80. And dress up shorts like great with a crop jacket or oversized tee. White House, Black Market, WHBM.com for $98. Also, Block Heel Slide teams well with cocktail dresses, jeans, and everything in between. SillisFootwear.com for $80. And try to bring the drama with a pair of bold boho fringe danglers at BobblerBar.com for $38. We continue now from dealing with the outside to the inside. Feeling good. Bullseye. One and done sessions give new meaning to the phrase targeted therapy. And there's a picture of a green target with a orange arrow going into the center of the orange bullseye. And inside of the arrow is two women relaxing. Actually, one woman relaxing, and she's talking to the therapist. She's laying on the couch. The other one is a therapist sitting, writing notes, I'm assuming, to what she's saying. And they're in an office with a lamp and a desk while she's talking. And we can ask the question, can we talk? While there's no SST directory to help you find a provider, you can check therapist websites for phrases like short-term, brief therapy, solution focus, and problem solving. Call these providers and ask if they're open to meeting once or twice or a few times. You can also experience a de facto form of SST if you have access to an employee assistant program or EAP that offers free short-term counseling to employees with personal or work-related problems. Even if EAP counselors have never heard of SST, they know that each session could be the only one they'll have with the client, so they make it as useful as possible, says Janet Schrunzinger, EAP Manager of Clinical Services at Advocate Aurora Health, which offers EAPs to companies in the Midwest. Now we're talking about, in less than 2 hours, you can get a tune-up, an oil change, a tax refund, or a massage, and maybe a new outlook on life. That's the idea behind single session therapy. That's SST, a method of counseling in which you show up, talk, listen, learn, and leave possibly forever. In SST, the therapist and the client approach the meeting as though it will likely be the only one, says Michael F. Hoyt, PhD, who literally helped write the book on this brief but meaningful kind of therapy. Indeed, he's co-edited 2 volumes on the topic. Hoyt isn't the only one who believes a single session can do the job. In her popular podcast, Where Should We Begin?, couples therapist and best-selling author Esther Perel Make significant headway against decades-long relationship problems in 3-hour standalone sessions. In addition, talk-in clinics which provide walk-in counseling for youths and their families or caregivers are catching on in Canada, and therapists in the UK and Australia advertise their single session expertise. Hoyt didn't set out to specialize in quickies. He's a clinical psychologist originally trained in psychodynamic psychotherapy, which usually involves regular sessions over the course of months or years. But in the late 1980s, he was working with fellow psychologist Moshe Talman, Ph.D., at an HMO in Northern California when Talman noticed that many of their patients came into the clinic only once. Along with psychologist Robert Rosenbaum, Ph.D., Holt and Talman decided to follow up with 200 of these patients to ask why. We were surprised to hear that the great majority felt like they got what they needed, says Hoyt. And this wasn't unique to their clinic. Other research showed that 20 to nearly 60% of those who visited a therapist went only once. So the trio did a study with 58 patients in which they structured every first session as if it would be the last. 59% left feeling satisfied with their treatment and declined additional appointments. And of these one-and-done patients, 88% reported improvement 3 months later in the complaint they'd come to address. The researchers then developed guidelines for how to reframe a typical session based on the assumption that the patient wouldn't be back. In 1988, Hoyt, Talman, and Rosenbaum presented their findings at a psychology conference in San Francisco. While some critics call SST band-aid therapy, Holt says that many practitioners were intrigued by a method that could help large numbers of people while freeing up time for those requiring extended attention. As more professionals practice SST, follow-up questionnaires showed that not only were patients getting a lot out of their session, but also solving one problem led to the improvement in other areas of their lives. So how does this typically work? In appointments that average 60 to 90 minutes, the therapist focuses on your strengths and skills, then helps you identify and practice things you can do now to get yourself unstuck. SST uses principles similar to cognitive behavioral and solution-focused therapies, both of which are intended to help you fix your problem yourself. Rather than looking at what negative thoughts and behaviors might be causing your issues, we look at what positive ones could solve it, says Holt. That method strongly appealed to Karen, one of Talman's recent patients in Israel. Though Karen is 48, married, and the mother of adult children, her parents were still trying to control her finances. But she wasn't interested in a deep analysis of the past. She wanted specific advice on how to talk to her parents about an issue that had been torturing her for some time, putting the house they had purchased and she lived in into her name. She worried that even broaching the subject could damage their relationship. After 30 minutes with Talman, Karen felt like he fully understood her family dynamic. They spent the second half of the session focusing on the imminent conversation and role playing. Dr. Talman helped me see that not only had I been depending on my parents, but they were dependent on me too. Karen says she also realized that her reaction to her parents' response, as bad as it might be, was completely in her hands. 2 days after the session, Karen sat down with her mother alone and expressed how at this point in her life, not having the property in her name put her at a disadvantage. To her surprise, her mother agreed. She said she never thought about it that way. Within 3 weeks, her parents presented her with a legal letter saying the property was hers. Karen doesn't plan to talk to Talman about her parents again, but she did make an appointment to discuss a totally different issue involving her boss. People who tend to do best with SST, Holt says, can identify at a relatively specific goal, dealing with grief, building self-esteem, validating feelings. In studies, SST has also been shown to help reduce anxiety, recurrent nightmares, alcohol abuse, and self-harm, as well as help managing phobias and panic attacks. Of course, there may be cases as when someone has been abused or is dealing with trauma, when a single session might open a can of worms and leave the client with feelings they can't handle, says Ryan Hoves, PhD and clinical psychologist in private practice in Pasadena, California, who has done a handful of one-off sessions at patients' request. Those cases are when additional sessions make sense, and Holt even says SST could be called making the most of each visit therapy, but he admits that's not as catchy. The suggestion that you could solve a problem right here, right now, today, can be empowering. The most common number of therapy visits many people commit to is zero, says Brian Yates, PhD and professor of psychology at American University in Washington, D.C., who studies the cost effectiveness of therapy. So if someone tries one visit and comes away with a concrete plan, a referral, or even the desire to attend more sessions, that can be a whole lot better than nothing. And in the end, says Talman, no matter how many sessions you need, if you approach each one as though it's the only one, it's likely to be the most cost-effective form of therapy you'll ever have. A phone call away when you need to talk, they're ready to listen. You know about hotlines offering free 24/7 help to people having an emotional emergency? But what if you're really, really, really having a bad day? Doesn't qualify as a crisis? Consider a warm line. These free, locally based peer-to-peer resources were created to give people with mental health issues someone to talk to after business hours or between appointments, says Chris Pundelinski, PhD and communications professor at Central Connecticut State University, who has studied warm lines. You don't need a diagnosis to dial in. The person on the other line end will be a paid staffer or volunteer who has received mental health services. Many callers find it powerful to talk to someone who has focused similar struggles and found a way to move forward, says Scott Metzger, a director of recovery services at the nonprofit Sweetser, which operates a warm line in Maine. To find a toll-free or local number, try Googling warm line, and your state, suggests Rebecca Daiglin, PhD, director of the Rehabilitation Counseling Program at the University of Scranton. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline and the National Sexual Assault Hotline will also take calls from people in non-emergency situations, and the organization Exhale runs a national talk line that exclusively offers post-abortion support. You won't be able to talk to a mental health professional or get a diagnosis or a prescription, and there may be a time limit on your call, but the person you talk to will likely have a list of resources to help you find in-person help should you want it. Your conversation may be the nudge you need to take the next step. Also, when feeling good, U-turn. Do you have abdominal uterine bleeding? Here's how to find your way back to freedom. My period took over my life when I was 35. For 63 out of 80 days, I bled. I was exhausted, anemic, frequently lightheaded, occasionally doubled over with cramps, and spending a fortune on tampons. After about a year, my doctor diagnosed me with abnormal uterine bleeding, or AUB, defined as excessively heavy periods, bleeding or spotting between periods or after sex, bleeding that lasts more than 8 days, or menstrual cycles that are longer than 34 days or shorter than 24. It's often attributed to hormonal issues or structural abnormalities like fibroids or polyps. As I learned firsthand, treatments range from popping the pill to undergoing major surgery. If you're one of the millions of women who suffer from AUB, relief starts with knowing your options. Bloody hell. Abnormal uterine bleeding affects up to 30% of women of reproductive age. Hormone therapy. Low-dose versions of the pill or progestin-releasing IUD can treat AUB by either ending or regulating menstrual periods. Unfortunately, while the pill may control the blood, many women, like me, refuse to live with the side effects, which can affect weight gain, severe mood swings, and for some women, yes, me again, an IUD may not prevent breakthrough bleeding. Endometrial ablation. If you don't have a uterine lining to shed, you're less likely to bleed, or so the theory goes, which is why procedures to destroy the endometrial lining have been used for more than a century. Over time, methods of ablation have become more sophisticated. In 1997, the FDA approved a device called ThermoChoice, in which a balloon is inserted in the uterus through the cervix and filled with a sterile solution that is then heated. Now the lining can be frozen, chiroblation, zapped with high energy radio waves, or burned off with heat releasing plasma. It may sound like torture, but so is bleeding for Christmas to Easter. And there's not even any cutting or sewing involved, points out Barbara Levy, MD, Vice President for Health Policy for the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists. The doctor works through the vagina in a quick outpatient procedure using anesthesia, usually local, occasionally general. Still, even though the reproductive organs are left intact, pregnancy following ablation is dangerous. It's normal to cramp and spot for a few days afterward. Endometrial ablation stops all bleeding 30 to 50% of the time, but it has mixed results with adenomegia, a cause of AUB, in which the endometrial cells migrate into the muscular wall of the uterus. Hysterectomy. The surgical removal of the uterus and sometimes the ovaries is something many women and many insurance companies would prefer to avoid. However, today's procedures aren't our mother's hysterectomies. Today's procedures aren't that. Minimal invasive techniques, including the removal of the uterus through the vagina, laparoscopic surgery, and robot-assisted laparoscopic surgery, have decreased major complications like blood clots, nerve and tissue damage, and infections. Patients may have only a few scratch-sized incisions, spend no more than a night or two in the hospital, endure as little as 3 weeks of recovery, and when all else fails, hysterectomy stops AUB 100% of the time. It worked for me. This is from Sarah Stancorp. Sweating the details. Exercise in extreme heat can be dangerous, even deadly. Use this chart to learn when to call it quits. Working out in sweltering weather doesn't just feel harder. Your body is putting in extra effort to regulate its temperature. That's because abnormally high internal temps can damage your muscles, your organs, and even your central nervous system, says Pamela Peak, MD, a spokesperson for the American College of Sports Medicine. Humidity only makes things worse, throttling your cool down mechanism by significantly slowing the evaporation of sweat. If you must exert yourself in Hades like heat, pay close attention to your body's red flags. Here's how to avoid going from frying pan to fire. I'm burning up. My skin is sweaty. I'm turning red and I'm so thirsty. Take a break and drink some water or a sports beverage loaded with electrolytes. Feeling better? Yep, good to go. Then you may still be dehydrated. Keep working out if you want, but take it down a few notches and be sure to sip water every 15 to 20 minutes, advised Sarah Pace, a health coach certified by the American Council on Exercise. And next time, fill your tank before you rev up. Drink 24 ounces of water about 20 minutes prior to your workout. If it doesn't work, Not really. I'm sweating buckets and my pulse is racing. My skin feels cool and clammy. And are those goosebumps? Then there's not enough fluid flowing to your body tissue. Drink more cool liquids and splash water on your face. Find some shade and sit down if you haven't already. If you're okay, I'm starting to come back into my own body. Then you are feeling great, but no more exercise today. Chill out indoors with AC or drink. Drink, and eat fruits and vegetables, which will also help you rehydrate. Monitor your energy levels depending on how dehydrated you were. It may be hours or even a night before you feel normal again. If you're still sluggish more than a day later, call a doctor. But breathe easy because you're no longer at urgent risk for developing a severe heat illness. And this is from Nicole Clancy. Before we run out of time, let's go to what I know for sure. And this, of course, is Oprah, and it's a picture of Oprah with her three friends, clockwise morning trek with Gail and her favorite daughter, Kirby, playing Layla and Duke as he tries to pull me up by my shirt. Tomato soup goodness, my backyard in the mist. And in the midst of the three ladies is a beautiful rainbow. Beautiful rainbow. And this is what Miss O says. Often my favorite part of the Oprah Winfrey Show was the after show. I relished the time just chatting with the audience. The question I asked them most frequently was, what do you really want? And many times the response was, I just want to be happy. But when I would follow up, what would that look like for you? Most people had trouble getting past something vague about their children or their income. As Dr. Phil always says, you gotta name it to claim it. I've been claiming happiness for a long time, dreaming big dreams and using the outcome of those dreams to bring beauty into my own life and to serve others. Service, I gotta say, is my biggest reward and brings me enormous happiness. Surprising other people with unexpected, needed, and sometimes just for fun support. What else does happiness look like for me? It literally looks like my own backyard. Glowing in setting sunlight or fog with mist from the Pacific. Every time I look at my yard, I get a thrill of delight. Same goes for delicious food from my garden. Today for lunch, I had a bowl of tomato soup made with freshly roasted tomatoes I picked this morning. Hashtag happy delicious. Rolling in the grass with my dogs. Sitting on the porch with my friends, enjoying an evening cocktail, sharing a meal, talking books with people who appreciate good stories, LOLing IRL, taking a morning hike, luxuriating in a steamy bath with oils and candles, watching my South African daughter girls grow up into confident women, teaching what I've learned, knowing I am loved. Bottom line, I know for sure I've made it because my happiness looks like my life. Oprah. And speaking of happiness, we're taking a look at this month, what the question was, how would you spend your perfect day? Susan Hosfin from Southampton, New York says, riding my thoroughbred Birdie, a former racehorse, I returned to my passion after 30 years and gave us both a second chance. Jerristown, West Virginia. Traveling with my husband, who has given me the world in only 13 years of marriage. Every trip we take is full of adventure and memories that will last us a lifetime. That's her name is Christina Alice. Kelly O'Banian from Marion, Indiana says, meeting Reese Witherspoon. We go to lunch in Nashville and shop at her store, then take selfies and send them to Oprah to say, we missed you, girlfriend. Colleen Long, Marco Island, Florida. On the road with my nieces and nephews, everyone would pick a song and we'd all sing. We'd have a bite to eat and just talk. I don't have kids of my own, but thanks to the six of them, I feel truly blessed. And right now we're going to take a quick look at Adam's style sheet. Bright color and whimsical prints always put a smile on my face. At number one, Made for Madras. My go-to tote is now available in my favorite print with a matching jacket and shorts. When can I leave for vacation? Tote $70, pullover $70, and the shorts are $55 at llbean.com. Number two, Lord of the Rings, David Yurman's latest collection of ceramic scented rings, available in 8 colors, delivers a cool pop of lush. $450 at davidyurman.com. Number three, Eye Candy. Nothing's happier than a Rock V moment. Just keep it one piece at a time. Roy G. Biv. Necklace, Pandora jewelry, $80, Pandora. Shoulder bag, $30 at Zara.com. And sneakers, $70 at Aldo Shoes. At number four, Checkmate. What's summer without a little gingham? Worn with capri pants or a long full skirt, this slide puts some pep in your step. Trademark at trademark-com. $298. And number five, Tutti Frutti. I love a good lemon print or a motif, but cherries, strawberries, and watermelon are just as delightful. A clutch at Caillou for $225. Skirt at Draper James for $225. Blazer $169 at Talbots, and sneakers at CV's for J. Crew at $88. Also for Miss Style Sheet, Natural Wonder. Lightweight, sturdy, and flexible rattan adds an inviting touch of texture to any space. Take it away. Flatware caddy for $70 at Williams-Sonoma. Light up. Wall pendant $699 at Palak.com. Fish out of water. Deborah Rose placemats $32 at NeimanMarcus.com. Sit tight armchair, $1,149 at wisteria.com. Look-see mirror, $495 at shopsocietysocial.com. Happy hour wine tote with lid, $495 at ralphlauren.com. Bright side pendant lamp, $295 at rh.com. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope that you've enjoyed it. I'm Shadate Hargett Hill for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. See you next time on the radio.